Come before you this morning, and we thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for your guidance, Lord, and your faithfulness to us. We just ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom, Lord. Help us be faithful to you. Help us, Lord, again to hear your word and act upon it, Lord, accordingly. Again, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Matthew chapter 16. verses 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I want to just stop right there. I appreciated Colby's thoughts about this and this idea. I've been thinking about I think it's 19 years, almost 19 years we've been meeting here. And I've been thinking about that a little bit. And I look around, and a lot of you weren't here then. A lot of you weren't old enough. Even the ones, some of the young people that were here. And you really don't know a lot of the things that have happened. You know, we've got several young people with making plans to get married, young people growing up and having hopes and dreams of being married, and we've got people that just enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the blessings that are here. And I just think about some of those things, and it is a blessing to see these things happening. I really never even imagined this side of it. It's just a blessing. I want to tell you a little bit about my decision and a little history. I love history, and I like family history. I like looking it up, and one of the things that I lament now is that I can't ask my grandparents the things that they knew about their grandparents, and they just was gone. And my parents really never cared about those things, so I never heard a lot about them. So anytime I find something about family history, I really enjoy it. And I just want to, usually when I go places, or go preach different places, one of the things I do is just tell them a little about us, a little about myself. Some people may not feel too comfortable because I get a little personal with myself sometimes about just telling where I'm at and what I was going through and different things in life. And I know that's not normal, but we just try to be who we are. And I've just tried to be real with who I am and what I am and all through my life, and that scares people sometimes. You know, we live in a religious world, and people have this face on the outside and this religious persona, and it looks pretty pristine, you know, and we try to keep it looking that way to everybody. And I've just tried to just be honest with who I am and what I am, and like I said, sometimes that's a little scary because there's some spots there that people see right off. But anyway, there's no need hiding them because they're there. And so, anyway, I grew up going to church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, revivals. I've told before that I've met old preachers in the area, old evangelists that used to travel around here and they remembered me whenever I was just barely born, and that they would hold me and just tell me that we were there every night for revival. So I grew up under the old Methodist type camp meeting thing where their people really had a real conversion, an experience with God. And I remember about 9 years old, I began to really question about where I was with God, my relationship with the Lord. And I grew up saying my prayers. I did everything I was supposed to, but there was just something. I knew that there was something missing. There was a connection to God that I hadn't experienced yet or hadn't known about yet. So I went to an altar whenever I was 9 years old. They'd already closed the church. Preacher had preached a message, and I was sitting there scared to death. And we went outside. The preacher was locking the door. And my sister asked him to go back in because she wanted to get saved. And so I thought, well, there, I think I want to get saved too. And so I went down to the front, and the preacher asked me if I believed in Jesus. I said, yes. And he said, well, have you asked forgiveness? And I said, yes. And he said, well, are you saved? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, you believe in Jesus, don't you? And I said, well, yes, of course. Never doubted it. I think that's where a lot of people are. They never even doubted that they don't believe in Jesus. But there was still something wrong. And he said, well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will be saved. Are you saved? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, the Bible says it right here, that if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, that you will be saved. I said, well, I guess I'm saved then, because I believe it. And everybody jumped up and started shouting and singing, and new name written down in glory. Everybody was talking about that now I'd been born again. The next week, they had an altar call, and I was right back at the front. And they said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And so we went through the whole thing again. And I was right here. I saw when you got saved. Oh, okay, well, all right. Well, that happened over and over and over again for years. I had hoping that I was saved, waiting for this experience, but it wasn't there. It wasn't like everybody else. So I just decided, well, I guess this is the way it's supposed to be. So I started testifying whenever they had an opportunity about how I was saved, and started talking to people at school and telling people at school that I love Jesus. I wasn't very old, but that's what we were supposed to be doing. And I lived that way for a long time. But always doubting, always wondering, what is this all about? And I got to the place whenever I was about 18 years old, and I started reading the Bible a little bit. And a preacher preached one time and said, be either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And I was sitting in the back of church, and I looked at my life and basically didn't see anything. And so I just decided, well, I'm not hot. I know that. I tried to be, but it still wasn't what it was supposed to be. I tried to testify. I did everything I could. But yet I always fell back into doing things I shouldn't, just over and over again, just up and down, just a big wave. So I decided at that point that I just gave up. I wasn't gonna keep on pretending, because I knew that I was not what I was supposed to be. That was the wrong decision, basically. But I didn't know I didn't have any other choices. I didn't have any other. The only thing that I was told was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I left. Quit going to church. Just started doing things my own way. Living my life for me. Trying to see what I could get out of this world. And by the time I was 25 years old, I had almost 30 houses accumulated. Had cattle, new trucks, everything in this world. And I started having a family. Got married without any guidance. I don't know what guidance there would have been if I had sought it, but there wasn't. Married a model. Just something that just went along with my lifestyle. And after we started having children, I remember we'd go to Sunday dinner. Mom and Dad have Sunday dinner and have had, and all the family comes and still do. It's a blessing. I appreciate what I was taught. When I walked in one day after they had gotten home from church and my wife had taken my baby to the church, and I came in later. I was busy. And Dad, in front of everybody, just said, "Son, why don't you bring her to church? It's your responsibility. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, making her go to church by herself." That smarted for a little while, but you know, I thought about it and I thought, you know, he's right. Listen to myself, he's right. And so I decided I'm going to just start taking my family to church. I want them to have at least what I had whenever I was growing up. So I went back to church, started going to church, and I began to hear the same old thing that I'd heard all my life about what it was to be a Christian. You ask Jesus to forgive you. You believe he died for you. You come and make a lot of noise about it on Sunday, Wednesday, revival meetings. But the rest of the week, you basically just live for yourself. Oh, you don't do all the bad things, but you know, you live better than average. But just going to church every Sunday and kind of makes you, that's supposed to make you special, I guess. And I realized that this is why I left. There just wasn't much here. And so I just determined that I'm going to start reading this Bible. Just going to start reading this book. And I begin in Matthew. And I begin to read, and I begin to read about what Jesus taught and his teachings. And I begin to look at them and, well, we're not doing these things. I mean, my idea of a Christian is someone who follows Jesus. And if we follow him, we ought to be doing what he said. And that should be what a Christian is all about. Instead of just these few Bible verses, we're talking about how I could be saved from hell. Instead of what Jesus said. So I began to read those things, and pretty soon, you know, I was taught you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do all those things. But I began to read the Bible, and the things that I had taught wasn't what Jesus was saying about do's and don'ts. What Jesus was talking about was seeking him first, about loving your enemies, about forgiveness. So we began to look at these things and study them and just read the Bible. I began to read where it said that Jesus talked about, came to a rich young ruler, came up to him, he said, "Sell what you have and follow me." And I realized that if I wanted the life of following Jesus, that I had to lose my life to gain that. And just like Colby talked about, you know, there was all kinds of excitement. People having big experiences of following Jesus, fire and lightning and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff. And every time I read the Bible, this still small voice was, forsake yourself and follow me. And I wrestled with that. I talked to preachers. I bought books. I talked to evangelists. And everyone said, oh, it doesn't mean what it says. It means, he just means that, you know, put him first. And it sounded pretty good. But it still was empty. Finally, one day I was driving around looking at the apartments and houses and collecting rent, whatever I was doing, troubled. And I just said, Lord, I don't know how to do any of this, but whatever you want, you can have it all. I don't care. I give it up. I want to follow you. Just that surrendering of my will to God's will. That's where the power is. That's where we're converted, in our wills, not in our mental assent. When our will is surrendered, I want God's will. And I didn't even have a clue, really, of what it all meant. But I had surrendered myself to the Lord. And as I began to read the Bible and began to understand that what believing Jesus was about was believing Jesus, not just believing a historical fact that he had died and risen again, but actually believing what he said, putting into practice the way he tells us to live. A lot of y'all have been trained to live that way, and it's a good thing. But our wills and our hearts can still be just going through motions. We have to surrender our will and our heart to the Lord. And it may not be anything exciting. It may not be anything dramatic. But just living our lives for the Lord. Just follow me. Be willing to do whatever he would ask us to do. To be willing to accept whatever he hands us. A lot of times that's the difficult part. You know, we have our lives planned out. And then he hands us something that we don't like. We have to make a decision. You know, some of us haven't even really been handed much. But when he does hand us something, what are we going to do with it then? That's where the real decisions will happen. That's the real importance. That's the real sealing of our will surrendered to God. I surrendered myself to the Lord. And I thought, okay, now I'm going to take my family and I want to dedicate them and give them to the Lord. And I gave my family to God. And I started trying the best I knew how to take them to church, teach them what they needed to be taught, have devotions with them. All the blessings that come with all of that. Make changes, get rid of things that I don't need. Just begin to sell the property, get rid of it. I just wanted to follow Jesus. Begin to question. Okay, well, we were not necessarily patriotic in our family, but we would have supported everything about it. But there was a lot of people that were in the church that were involved in military and all kinds of things like that. And we began to see Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek, not to forgive people. And boy, I just had to try to start talking about some of those things. And about that time, met met Kevin and Liz, and they were seeing some of the same things, come out of some of the same things like that, and go to church and bring something like that up and have everybody in the church mad at you just because you said what Jesus said. Then we begin to see about divorce and remarriage and those things. Had to decide, do I really believe this? What Jesus taught about, and what does it really mean? And go through all the different things that people were talking about to decide whether we really believed this or not, or what he really meant about it. And kind of come to some resolutions of what he thought and how we ought to live our lives. That we were with people, they were divorced, remarried, marriage, divorce, just all kinds of stuff, and it just went right on. And then we had children, so we began to think, well, looked at the school system. Was I just going to send my children to the public school and let them teach them all day long? And that just wasn't right. So we had to really make some waves. My dad was on the school board. And how I would dare take my children out of the Purdy school system and teach them at home. It was something just unheard of back then. Why would you do that? And so that caused a lot of friction. And as I began to follow Jesus, family, friends didn't want nothing to do with me anymore. That wasn't what I wanted. I mean, I didn't want that handed to me, but that's what happened. And I had to, over and over again, decide, what am I doing? And I always came, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I never dreamed that it would be, you know, you hear about people, we would hear about people in church and hear about revivals, and they would always talk about it. And so I would think, this is where revival should be. It should be about following Jesus. And just churches almost as one would rise up and say, no, we don't want this. We want revival. We don't want this. And just be rejected. I thought if you really got excited and really started following Jesus, that everyone would just be all for you and encourage you and get excited about following Jesus. But that's not what happened. It's exactly opposite of that. We read later, and now we can look and say, well, that's what Jesus said would happen. But I didn't know that. I just had to choose to keep following Jesus or not. And then a few years later, trying to teach this stuff, trying to make steps towards following Jesus, trying to implement this to my children. My children didn't want it. My wife didn't want it. She found courage among religious people to leave. That's not what I wanted. I wanted to follow Jesus. I wanted my family to follow Jesus. I wanted to raise a family to follow the Lord. And I thought that would bring the most glory, to have a godly family, to follow the Lord. And now my wife left. Took my children away. An embarrassment to my family, the community. A failure. Never dreamed that that's what it would be, to follow Jesus. Never dreamed of it. Started going to the Mennonite church and was there for a while and found people that actually tried to apply what Jesus taught, and it was a blessing. Appreciated it. I remember during this time, this song that we sang today, Someday Beyond the Reach of Mortal Ken. And I had an old 62 Falcon car, just an old car. The heater barely worked. And it was in February. And I had gotten kicked out of my house. I had no place to live, no place to go. Kevin and Liz offered. I stayed in their house, but he left early. But there might have been even a couple of nights before that all happened that I just slept in that old car. I spent a lot of nights in that old car. I remember parking up at the park here in Monette to go to work, to be there at work, and sitting there in that old car, waking up, freezing. That was the coldest. It got down 23 or 4 degrees below zero that winter. It's the coldest winter I ever remember. Sitting in that old car, that cold, and just singing that song Someday, just crying. Pulling in, parking at different places, the police coming, asking me what I'm doing out there so late in the night, middle, early in the morning. Wondering, what am I doing? Wondering, questioning. You know, you talk about faith. You see people that never doubt anything. I had to question every move I made and everything that happened. But it all came down to, am I going to follow Jesus? And I don't know that I did everything right, but I did all I knew. I did the best I could. I lived that way for several years. Finally, rented a little house. The divorce papers came, and I didn't even go to the court. I told her I wasn't going to fight her. I wasn't going to resist her. And the court came, and they had my income, and I figured up everything that I was supposed to pay after I got done with my check, and I had, I think, $2 left over just going through the whole year what I was supposed to pay and my check. $2 left over whenever it was all said and done. They knew exactly how much I made, and they wanted every penny of it. I don't know. I told them that I wasn't going to pay the insurance. I wasn't buying it for myself, so I wasn't going to pay that. And there was two or three things, and that's what I lived on, what I didn't pay, because I wouldn't pay for myself. Lived that way for a long time, just nothing. I was following Jesus. That's what I wanted to do. Began preaching, going all over the place, just telling people. It's following Jesus is what this is all about. I was with the Mennonites several years and preaching, and they asked me to do some things that I just couldn't do. So I had to separate from that. And that's when we began, like 19 years ago, meeting together. We started meeting at the tire shop. That's where I worked, and we'd meet down there in the tire shop. Set chairs out in the office of the tire shop. It was a blessing. That's a little of the history of where we're, what we've come through. And like I said, just like I never knew what it would cost me, I really didn't know what the blessings were to see brethren raise their families, what I wanted. And have the privilege to give to others. My wife calls pretty regular. Apologizes. Said if I don't know, I didn't understand. That's in the Lord's hands. I gave my family to the Lord. Didn't know what never dreamed that's the direction he would take them. They're in his hands. Still are. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Not everybody's going through the same path. He's not asking the same thing of everybody other than your heart. Everything. We have a lot of blessings today. I've got a lot of blessings today. I wouldn't change a thing, as far as I know. I did what I knew I was supposed to do. Like I said, when I learned something different, I could do something different. But at the time, I made the decisions, guided by the Lord the best I knew how. And that's all I wanted. And that's all the Lord wants from any of us. Is to do the best you know to do right now. If you fail, get right back up. But follow Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Who knows where that road will lead? Just trust him and determine to follow him with all your heart. May the Lord add his blessings.
Brian Gray's assignment for us boys was to think of some goal that we have and what we did this week to work for it. And I thought about how we're all working real hard to move into our new house. There's a lot to do to get to that point. And so we've been real busy working on cars and cleaning up and doing all kinds of different things to hopefully reach that goal before too long.
One goal I have for this year is to become a more responsible person and just be more trustworthy and just be there when I'm needed. And so this week I just tried to just make sure I got my work done right and go take extra care to do it the right way, because jobs done by halves are never done right, like the saying goes.
What I wanted to work on this year was being more friendly and out for others and considerate, and so I tried to work on that this week.
I've been trying to be nicer to my younger siblings, and whenever, like this week, whenever they want me to, like the little children want me to play some game with them or do something, and I'm kind of thinking, oh, there's something else I want to do right now, but been trying to just be more thoughtful for what others want too.
I appreciated the assignment, get a goal and work on it, and we can climb higher and work on that. One thing I was thinking that I could work on is being more easy to work with and just working with others. And sometimes one thing I've been working at this week is if I think maybe there'd be a better way or something, or I try to just go with what the other one wants and just do it their way instead of just always trying to pick out a different way. So that's been what I've been working at, and it's a blessing.
One of my goals for this week is to just be able to quit with my own work and go and help someone else who needs it more. And so this week I've been working at letting my things that don't need to be done as quick, just let them go for a little bit and go help someone else.
A goal that I have for this year is to be more helpful, and so I helped the girls with chores several times this week.
My goal for this week is to do work with a good attitude and get it done fast.
One goal I'm working at is being more respectful and diligent in my work. That's what I've been working at.
One of my goals this year is to try and reestablish my relationship with my family. So this week I called my parents several times. And I guess for those of you who don't know, my mom had a baby boy on the 1st. So she's doing fine.
Morning. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Anything we want to pray about this morning? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to thank you for all your many blessings to us. We thank you for allowing us to gather together. Just open our hearts and our ears to hear your words this morning. Just help us to be mindful of you and all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I want to kind of start in John chapter 1. I'm kind of going to jump around a little bit. I just want to talk about the simplicity of following Jesus, how simple it actually is, and how we sometimes tend to make it more complicated than it needs to be, I think. Not intentionally, but just we get carried away with the world and how loud the world is and how bright, and you know, we'll get into that here in a second, but I just want to read a couple verses here. In John 1 verse, we'll start in 42. Well, we'll start 41. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And that's about all, but my big deal was follow me. Jesus didn't go around, you know, having a big sign. He just said, "Follow me." He knew the men that he chose to say that to, and he even knew that one of them was going to betray him in the end. But he still said, "Follow me," just very simply. And I just was kind of thinking about that, you know. People try to, you know, you got to go through different churches and different groups. You know, they try to make you go through a 10-month course or 6-month course or something of, you got to read your Bible. You got to go read the books that they've wrote, that they've come up with all these rules and laws and stuff, what you have supposed to do before you can even become a member of the church. And Jesus walked up and said, "Follow me." And I kind of appreciate, and I really appreciate that around the church here, that when someone comes and they say, and they agree with us, just the simple teachings of Jesus, we can fellowship with that person because he follows Jesus. It's just so simple. And I was reading, you know, back in, it's Third Kingdoms or First Kingdoms in the New James, but Third Kingdoms in this Bible here. But it talks about, and Elijah, when he was hiding from Jezebel, chapter 19, Third Kingdom, chapter 19, if you want to read there. Anyway, Jezebel was trying to kill Elijah. So Elijah went and hid in the mountains, and God came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing in the mountains? We'll just read a little bit here, 19:9. And it says, behold, the Lord, word of the Lord came to him and said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty since the children of Israel have forsaken you. They tore down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he replied, go out tomorrow and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord will pass by, and before the Lord a great and powerful wind will be rending the mountains and shattering the rocks, but the Lord will not be in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord will not be in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there will be fire, but the Lord will not be in the fire. After the fire, there will be the sound of a gentle breeze, and the Lord will be there. So when Elijah heard this, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty since the children of Israel have forsaken you, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And the Lord said, go and return. You're on your way to the desert of Damascus. But I was just thinking, you know, like the world is just full of sights and sounds and attractions and distractions from just the still small voice of saying, follow me. And I think it's pretty easy for us, myself included, very much so, to just get distracted with just even work, just busy everyday-to-day work, and not just following Jesus zealously like we should. We get just so, it's so easy to get distracted. And I just want to encourage everyone just follow Jesus simply. That's about all I have.
Jesus shall be night and day. Jesus shall I am bound for the promised land. So